For what earthly reason would the heavenly Father send down His Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes He had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let Him hang upon a tree? I wept with the answer, that one earthly reason was me. I was the reason, that one earthly reason. I was the guilty, and He was the sacrifice. I was a taker, He was the giver, dying while I go free. One earthly reason was me. The fairest of angels were not summoned from the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory, and His only reason was me. I was the reason, that one earthly reason. I was the guilty, He was the sacrifice. I was a taker, He was the giver, dying while I go free. One earthly reason, that one earthly reason, His only reason was me.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Green. That was a blessing. Brother Todd, as Lassiter, has been called to be co-pastor with me throughout October the 17th of this next year. And we're going to begin to share preaching responsibilities. And so on this first time, I'm going to introduce him. The rest of the time, he'll just get up and preach. All right? But we're happy that God has put him in this place, and we know our church is going to be blessed because of it. And you listen to Brother Lassiter this morning.
All right. Thank you, preacher. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. And Brother Bruce, I've been there, my brother. I know what it is to get that phone call and at the last minute. But I appreciate him, don't you? Stepping up, standing in, and serving God. And so I appreciate his willingness and his desire to be used this morning for the Lord. I hope you're glad to be in church today and be serving God. We're in a free country. At least nobody hassled me about coming to church this morning. Nobody was standing out front guarding the front doors. Nobody was trying to take my Bible away from me. But you know, two-thirds of the world, that's what's occurring today. And yet here we have the freedom to come, to hear preaching, to enjoy one another, to fellowship, and to enjoy the Word of God. And I hope that you will this morning. Take your Bibles, three passages of Scripture, if you would please. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3 and verse 6. And Romans 5 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 15. Genesis 3 and verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 12. I'm going to use these verses to hopefully make an application for us today and provoke you to think about something as you leave here this morning. Let's stand together, if you would please, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 15. This is kind of our verse to provoke our thought, and then we'll look at Genesis 3, 6 and Romans 5, 12. The Scripture reads, if you have a King James Bible, in chapter 3 and verse 15, "That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past." And I want you to think about that as you turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Now, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I think everyone, if you're new to Christianity or you're new to the church today, this is, we have recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. God had created a garden. He called Eden. He had put man in that garden and to care for that garden. He created a woman, gave that woman to man. And then things began to change a little bit in Genesis 3 because there the tempter entered into the picture. God had told Adam and Eve that there was a tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they could not take of that tree. Well, Satan, in the form of a serpent, began to tempt and began to deceive the woman. And if you'll notice there in verse number 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband," that's Adam, "with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Now, I want you, while you're turning to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, think about this. I wonder if Adam, knew at the moment that he took of that fruit and ate of that fruit and disobeyed God, I wonder if he knew then what he knows now, if he would have done that. You're talking about somebody that affected all of mankind. One guy affected all of mankind. Notice now, if you would, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. The Scripture says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned because of one guy." I'm just wondering, dear Christian, today, that if Adam would have knew then what he does know now, and by the way, what he knew a second after he ate, if he'd have done it again. And that's what I want you to think about this morning. Here's what I want you to think about. And I'm going to give you some personal illustrations this morning, but I want you to think about this. If I knew then what I know now. If I knew then what I know now. Father, would you bless our time this morning? And I ask you, Holy Ghost of God, to move in such a way that it would be evident, without question, that you've been here this morning. Would you convict hearts? Would you let the preaching of the Word of God take seed in hearts today, and that we'd leave changed because of the Word of God? And we'll thank you for this morning and for all that you shall do in the wonderful name of Jesus. I pray it. Amen. You can be seated. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I think probably everyone this morning has probably come to that place where you have made a decision in your life, and after you saw the consequences of that decision, or after you saw the fruit of that decision, you probably thought the same thing that I thought. Boy, if I would have just known then what I know now, things would have been different. Has anybody ever been in that place besides myself? I would imagine that probably Adam thought 1 second after he took of the fruit, boy, I've made a big mistake. I wonder if he would have known that he was about to cast all of mankind into condemnation before God. I wonder if he knew that the penalty and the problems and the struggles that all of us were going to have in the flesh, I wonder if he would have done it again. You see, I just wonder if he knew then what he knows now, if he would have done that again. Can I use some Bible illustrations this morning? I wonder if Mrs. Job, if she would have known at the time that she told her husband to curse God and die, I wonder if she would have known what the outcome was going to be if she would have said that again. You ever said something you regretted? I wonder if Mrs. Job would have uttered those words to her husband, curse God and die, if she would have known then what she knew later. I wonder if David would have sinned with Bathsheba or numbered the people if he would have known what the outcome was going to be. I wonder if he would have known then what he knew later, if he would have committed those sins against God. I don't think so, do you? Because of the price that he had to pay. I wonder if Solomon would have married many strange wives if he would have known that they were going to draw his heart away from God. I wonder if he would have known prior what he knew at the end if he would have done it again. I wonder if Peter would have denied Christ 3 times if he would have known Pentecost was coming. If he would have known that God was going to use him in such a way, I wonder if he would have denied the Lord 3 times. Don't think he would have. Because I'm here to tell you that in my life, if I would have known then what I know now, there would have been some major changes a whole lot earlier in life than what I made them. You see, can I say to you, dear Christian this morning and dear folks this morning that are under the sound of my voice, that your past has become your present. And the present today will become your future. I'm here to tell you that today you're under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. We have no excuse. We know now what will be the outcome of our future, but we've got to do something about it now. We've got a plan to have a happy future. We've got a plan to have a successful life. We've got a plan to serve God. You see, there are people down through history that if they would have known then what they knew later, they wouldn't have made some mistakes. They wouldn't have sinned against God. They wouldn't have made some of the decisions that they've made. And yet we have in our hand a perfect Word of God. We have in our hand the way that we're to follow the Christian life, how we're to serve God, what we're to do, how we're to treat one another. We have it. So you know what we've got to do? We've got a plan to be a success. We've got a plan now of how we're going to serve God so that in the future we will know according to the Scripture so we can have a happy and successful future. Let me mention a couple of things just practically this morning for you to think with me about. If I would have known then what I know now, I wouldn't have challenged the greatest law in the Bible, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. And let me say that again. If I would have known then what I know now, I would have never challenged the law of sowing and reaping. Can I say to you that for some reason we've got in our head that we're going to be the exception to the law? And that God, for some reason, is going to go totally out of character and show favor to me because of who we are. And he's just not going to do that, folks. And you are like me, and everybody in this room, at some point in your life, you have challenged that law, haven't you? I have. But you know what? I found out that my sin will find me out. It will. God will make sure that it will. It will find you. And if you think you're going to find a place to hide, let me say something to you, dear friend. You know, Adam and Eve, once they found out what they had done, what did they do? They ran and they hid. Where are you going to go to hide from God? You're not going to, listen, you say, I'm going to go to a remote island somewhere where nobody knows where I am. Well, man may not know where you are, but God knows where you are. You see, if I'd have known then what I know now, I wouldn't have challenged the law of sowing and reaping. Because I found out your sin will find you out. Please remember, if you're new this morning, or whether you're an older Christian this morning, please remember that in the law of sowing and reaping, you always reap what you sow. You always reap more than you sow, and you always reap later than you sow. I'm 48 years old. And do you know? I guess, preacher, I'm just going to take that as a compliment. Amen. But isn't it amazing that we think that as we get older, that all of a sudden, all of the seed that we've sown that we think that God's forgotten about, isn't it amazing how it pops its head up even in our older age? And if you're like me, you know what you do? You spend a portion of your life trying to stamp out fires you set 20 years ago. Boy, if I'd have just known then what I know now, I wouldn't have set some of them fires, would you? I wouldn't have challenged the law of sowing and reaping. But for some reason, we get in our mind that we think that we're going to be the exception to God's law, and we're not. All I'm saying to you, dear friend, this morning, think about what you're doing. Think about your family. Think about your life. Think about your job. Think about all the things that you do that are going to affect people. You say, oh, Brother Todd, if I'd have just known then what I know now, well, can I say something to you? I'm telling you, you know now. So therefore, you can protect your future. You won't have to go through some of the things that some of us had to go through because we decided we're going to challenge the law of sowing and reaping. I found out the Scripture's true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, you listen to me, that shall he also reap. You are a living testimony to it, and I'm a living testimony to it. And if you're new this morning, may I say to you from experience, don't challenge the law of sowing and reaping. We get in our mind that somehow we're going to beat the book, right? I'm just going to beat the book. Well, good luck. I've never known anybody in my lifetime, and may I say, I've never known anybody in the history of the world since Adam and Eve that's ever beat the book. It ain't happening, folks. I'm just here to tell you, if I knew then what I know now, I would not have challenged the law of sowing and reaping. May I say to you, number two, if I would have known then what I know now, I would have put more emphasis on relationships. You realize that you're not always going to have your family around you, like many of us got to experience at Christmas time. Do you know you're not always going to have your parents, young people? You're not always going to have parents, your children. You're not always, husband and wife, going to have your spouse. You see, if I'd have known then what I know now, I'd put more emphasis on relationships. First of all, I'd put more emphasis on my vertical relationship with God. I'd put more emphasis on my relationship with God. And what? Why? Because I've seen with my own eyes what God can do. And we serve a miracle-working God. I'd put more emphasis on building a relationship with God. May I say also that not only would I put more emphasis on building a relationship with God, I'd put more emphasis on building friendships. Do you know, I read an article some time ago, and you've heard this said many times. I read an article years ago And by the way, when I read that article, I challenged it too, only to find out it was true. They said that a person will live and die their entire lifetime and have fewer than five true friends in their entire lifetime. And I thought, oh, that's a lie. And I began to sit down and think about it, and I couldn't come up but with three. And that now listen, my best friend's my wife. So I didn't count her in the three. But I thought I could only name three people. You say, well, what's a friend, Brother Todd? That's somebody that you can go to and you can spill your heart and you know it's all in confidentiality. And they will never say another word about it. They will pray for you. They will support you. They will help you. You know what I'd do? I'd work on being a better friend if I knew then what I know now. I'd work on being a better friend to people. I'd work on my vertical relationship, my relationship with God. I'd work on being a better friend. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, according to Proverbs chapter 18, if you're going to be a friend, you've got to show yourself friendly. And may I say, you've got to show yourself trustworthy. That somebody can tell you something and you'll zip it. It's not my job to go air out everybody's dirty laundry. Hey, if somebody puts confidence in me or somebody puts confidence in you to come to you looking for help, then that's what they want the buck to stop there. Hey, I'm just saying to you, if I knew then what I know now, I'd work on my friendships. I'd work on my heavenly relationships. And as I mentioned first, I'd work on my family relationships. Folks, this tape, Christmas, I love Christmas time. You know why? Because at Christmas time, many of us get to spend time with family that we don't normally get to spend time with the rest of the year. Many of you have children that live in other states and you see them once or twice a year. Many of you have family members, moms and dads, that live in other states that you don't get to see but once or twice a year. May I say to you, take advantage of it. You say, but I've only got 2 weeks of vacation. Take one of them and go see those people that you love because you won't always have them. I'd put more emphasis on family relationships. My parents are up in age, and my wife's parents are up in age. They're in their mid-70s now. And they're beginning to have health issues and health problems that they've never had before. Battles they've never had before. They were always, you see, preacher, I always saw my parents as vibrant. I never saw them at 75 years old. I always saw them as a young boy. I always saw them in their 30s, their 20s and 30s and early 40s, where they were vibrant and they were always going here, going there, doing this and doing that. You see, if I knew then what I know now, I'd put more emphasis on family relationships. May I say to you, number three, if I knew then what I know now, I'd listen a little bit more closely to teaching and preaching of God's Word. Listen, I tell you what, most of us, if our life depended on it, and there was a reporter standing right outside the door there, and most of us, when we walked outside, and he says, what did the preacher preach on this morning? Most of us wouldn't make it back to the evening service if our life depended on it. You know why? Because we come to church, you know what we do? We play church. We smile. We shake hands. We never listen. We never listen to that still, small voice in our heart that's convicting us about an area of our life to get right. Hey, if I knew then what I know now, you know what I do? When I sat in the pew years ago, prior to salvation, when I sat in the pew, you know what? I just let the preaching and teaching go in one ear, right out the other. And we walk out, we go home, and think, boy, wasn't that good? If our life depended on, we couldn't answer one question about what the preacher preached on. You see, if I knew then what I know now, I'd listen more closely to teaching and preaching of God's Word. May I say, I'd listen a little bit more closely to the teaching and preaching about God's holiness and how holy He really is. Do you know we serve a holy God? I'm telling you, my friend, so holy that man cannot gaze upon His holiness and still live. We're talking about a holy God that's so clean and so pure and so good. Why would He even want to deal with us? He's a holy God. And you know, one day I'm going to see that holy God, but some things are going to have to change for me to do that. You see, this corruptible is going to have to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to have to put on immortality. And then the scripture says when that happens, John tells us in 1 John 3 that when I see him, I will be like him, for I shall see him as he is. You see, I'd listen more closely to the teaching and preaching about God's holiness and how holy he is. I'd also listen to the teaching and preaching a little bit more carefully concerning God's will for my life. Now, folks, you've heard our pastor mention many times, hey, I'm behind it. I agree with it 100%. God's calling more people than are answering. God's calling more people than are answering. You say, Brother Todd, he's not calling me to preach. I didn't say call to preach. He's calling some to the bus ministry. He's calling some to teach Sunday school classes. He's calling some to drive buses. He's calling more than are answering. And a church this size, he's doing a lot of calling. He's doing a lot of moving. And I'm telling you, my dear friend, if we do nothing for the cause of Christ and we face him at the judgment seat of Christ, listen very carefully, if you knew then what you know then, if you would know now what you know when you face God, you know what? You'd have drove that bus. You'd have taught that Sunday school class. You'd have got in the bus ministry and tried to help boys and girls know the truth about the gospel of Christ. Hey, I'm just telling you, if I knew then what I know now, I'd have listened a little more carefully to the teaching and preaching about God's will for my life and concerning God's purpose for me within the church. Let me give you another one. If I knew then what I know now, I would have known how to deal with the devil a little bit better. Now, I'm not ever going to perfect my battle plan against the devil. But if I would have known then what I know now, if I would have known how he slithers around and how he can use certain things to weasel his way into your life, to your family, and into the church, if I'd have known then what I know now, I'd be able to deal with the devil a little bit better. You see, it's the same old things that he's always used. The Bible calls them snares, devices, wiles, fiery darts, same stuff. Hey, listen, the devil has never had an original idea. Everything he does and has, he stole from God. You see, if I'd have known then what I know now, I would have understood a little bit more about what a snare is, what a device is, what a wile is. You see, if I'd have known then what I know now, I would have understood that temptation is his avenue to my transgression. Temptation is his avenue to my transgression. You see, there's a big difference, church, between temptation and testing in a Christian's life. Big difference. You see, temptation we find in the Bible is not orchestrated by God. Temptation in Scripture is orchestrated by the devil. And you know what the meaning, you know what his desire behind temptation is to bring out the evil in your flesh. That's the reason he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason he tempted David. That's the reason he tempted many people in the Bible. Some fail. Some were able to sustain the temptation. But may I say also, just as there is temptation and orchestrated by the devil to bring out the evil in your flesh, may I also say that we have a God in heaven that uses testing. And you know who's behind the testing? God orchestrates testing. And you know what's behind his testing in your life and my life? It's to bring out not the evil, because the Bible says God tempteth no man. God tests. He orchestrates testing in our life to bring out the good in your spirit. You see, probably the greatest temptation in the Bible that we have, God tempted Abraham. God tempted Abraham in such a way that it brought out what God was looking for. God wasn't trying to bring out the evil in his life. He was trying to bring out the good. Did it work? Yeah! Yeah, it worked. He tested him in the thing. Listen very carefully. Normally when God tests, he doesn't test in the trivial things of your life. He tests in the treasures of your life. You know what meant more to Abraham than anything in the world outside his wife? His son. And God says, he's the one to take up on Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. And did you know that Abraham went through with it even so much, the Scripture says, as to start the downward movement to take Isaac's life? And God says, "Hut, stop! I learned exactly what I needed to learn." You know what he was trying to bring out in Abraham? He's trying to bring out the good. You see, God tests us to strengthen our faith. Satan tempts us to weaken our faith. God tests contradict all reason. Satan tempts us on the basis of reason. God seldom ever tests us, as I mentioned, in the trivial things, but always in the treasures of our life. Can I say this to you? I heard an old preacher a long time ago and I wrote it down. You say, "Brother Todd, it's more than I can bear. It's more than I can handle. The testings of God, I just can't deal with them anymore." Heard an old preacher put it this way. He said, in the testing, God's hand is always on the thermostat, but His eye is always on the clock. His hand is always on the thermostat. He knows how much you can bear, and His eye is always on the clock, because He does everything in His time. Let me give you one more this morning. If I knew then what I know now, I would have gotten saved a whole lot sooner. Hey, if I'd have known then that the Christian life was so good, I'd have got saved a long time before 23 years old. I'm telling you, if I don't know how young I would have gotten saved, but as soon as I came to the understanding of the truth, you know what? I would have gotten on board with God. If I would have known then what I know now, I would have gotten saved a whole lot sooner. You see, to know the joy of being saved. You meet people, and I meet people all the time. They're absolutely miserable. You know why? Because most of them are without God. Most of them are without Christ. And if they could just know what God wants to do in their life, how He wants to favor them and bless them and provide for them, I'm telling you, if they could just know what God wants for them, I'm convinced they'd get saved. If I would have known then what I know now, I would have gotten saved a whole lot sooner. To be able to experience the joy of being in the family of God. You know, all of us have read stories about young people that have been adopted. And the joy on their face. I've had the privilege on one occasion to see a family adopt a young child. And when they came together for that final time, when all the papers were signed and all the fees were paid, the expression on that child's face was worth more than $1 million. Because all of a sudden, that kid had a family. He had a home. And the joy that that child experienced is the same joy that a person can experience if they'll just come to Christ. They've got a family. God's got a family waiting on you to love you, to help you, to befriend you. You see, if I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have gotten saved a whole lot sooner. Not only to experience the joy of being saved, but to know the blessings of being saved. Anybody in here ever been blessed? You say, "How can I get blessed?" You know what? I'm not concerned about material blessings as much as I'm concerned about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about to have the peace of God. And not only made peace with God, but have the peace of God. Man, if I'd have just known then what I know now, my goodness, I'd have been saved a whole lot sooner. Not only to know the joy of being saved, the blessings of being saved, but may I say, to know the influence of being saved. Think about all the people that you can influence for Christ. Your co-workers, your neighbors, your family members. Oh my goodness, if I'd have known then what I know now, I would have gotten saved a whole lot sooner. I believe I could probably influence more people for Christ. See, I just blew off 23 years of my life. Just blew it off. Man, what if I'd have gotten saved when I was 8, 9, 10 years old? What if I would have had the opportunity to be in a harvester's or reaper's program? Man, I wonder what that could have done for me. I wonder what would have happened if I'd have gotten saved at a young age and could have been in a teen department where they teach and preach the gospel, where they try to encourage you, to love you. I wonder what happened. I wonder if I'd have made the same stupid decisions in my teen years if I'd have been in a good church. Boy, if I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have gotten saved a whole lot sooner. And can I say in conclusion this morning, there might be someone here that you don't know the Lord. Maybe when you got up this morning, you questioned, boy, I wonder if something happened to me if I'd go to heaven. Maybe you've questioned it, or maybe you've had doubts about it. Whatever it is, let me tell you something. This morning at the invitation, you need to settle that before you walk out that back door. Because you listen to me, your present will become your future. And what you do today could so influence people from this time forward, it could be incredible what God could do in and through your life. You see, some of us in this auditorium today, we're living our past because of the decisions we made then. And man, if we'd have known then what we know now, we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have gotten ourselves in the mess that we got ourselves into. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord. I'm here to tell you there's a mansion waiting for you in heaven. There's a family waiting for you in the family of God. There's joy waiting for you. There's blessing. There's the favor of God waiting for you. You know now. Don't wait till it's too late. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one moving around. Please listen very carefully. How many of you are here this morning? You'd say, Brother Todd, no, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, has come into my heart. I've been born again. I'm happy about it. I'm not sad about it. I'm excited about it. I've been saved according to the Scripture by the grace of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high as a testimony before the Lord. You say, that's me, Brother Todd, that's me. Already been saved. Know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I ask at this time that you'd move in such an incredible way this morning. Convict hearts concerning the gospel of Christ. Lord, they know now. I have given them. They know the truth. They know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. All they have to do this morning is come and want to be saved. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I pray that you'd move in the hearts today. Convict hearts. Holy Ghost of God, move in a special way today. Bring those who need the Lord, that they can start off a new year of 2010 in the family of God. You're waiting for their decision. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed,